Our sermon this morning is going to be on the subject of the Word of God and prayer. And what I want to show us is that it's not an accident that I put the Word of God first and then prayer. That's a necessary order. In other words, the Word of God first and then prayer is a must. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18 puts it in that order. He says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So we have the Word of God, we have prayer, and we have the Spirit of God. And those are the main things we want to bring out today. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus makes a statement that many times we struggle with because we often find ourselves falling short of what it holds out. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. He's telling his disciples to have faith in God and how that faith can remove mountains. And then he applies it to prayer in verse 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Whatever I desire, I will have when I pray. How can that be? Well, let's look at a couple more verses. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 24. "The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him." Even though he doesn't want it to. "But the desire of the righteous shall be granted." Right? He'll give us what we desire. Chapter 11 and verse 23. "Why would God give me whatever I desire?" Because it says, "The desire of the righteous is only good." Do we really desire as God's people bad, evil, wickedness? No, we want what's good. "But the expectation of the wicked is wrath." How can it be that our desires are only good? Psalm 37 and verse 4. David says there, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Not only give you what you desire, but give you the desire itself. Now, if God gives the desire, he wouldn't put a desire there unless he intended to satisfy it or fulfill it or grant it. In other words, it's a God-given desire that we're praying for. So that, as Jesus said, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Now, we can easily believe what God himself has given us the desire for and led us to pray for and given us a burden for. So let's have our faith challenged today and take this verse of Mark 11:24 literally as God has given it to us, and then set aside our own doubtings and shortcomings in our experience, and then our rationalizations of these shortcomings. "Well, I don't see that happening, so there must be a reason." We figure out why we can't expect that prayer to be, or that verse to be fulfilled. And so we try to explain away the verse instead of believing and realizing the verse. So what I'm saying is we should gauge our experiences by the Word of God and not the other way around. What's the Word of God say? That's what my experience should match. Not, "Here's my experience, so I got to make the Word of God fit that." So let's see how this is the case. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Tells us about faith. It describes it in this way. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Prayer is a heavenly spiritual exercise where we have direct dealings with the invisible God. And the only way we can pray and deal with God is by the medium of faith. That's why Hebrews 10:22 tells us how we should come to God. Let us draw near how? With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." Why? "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." Must believe. If we're going to come to God, it has to be by faith. "And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." In other words, my coming to Him will not be in vain. He's going to answer my prayer. Give me what I ask. No true prayer ever goes unanswered when it's offered up in faith through Jesus Christ. And so he's saying here that we must believe when we pray. We must take God at His word and trust Him to keep His word. Remember, faith is in the living Almighty God. And faith in Him will increase our faith in the promises of that God. What is God like? What is His character? Deuteronomy 7:9. "Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." He's the faithful God. That's His attribute, faithfulness. And what about this faithfulness? Psalm 119 and verse 90. We read there, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." In other words, His faithfulness is eternal, unending, and unchanging. "Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." What else do we know about this faith? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Of God's mercies, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." God is great, and everything about Him is great. And He's not sometimes faithful or somewhat faithful. Great is His faithfulness. And what's He say about it in Psalm 89, verse 3? He says, "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant." And He tells us how He will keep that promise. Verse 24, "My faithfulness and mercy shall be with him." And He says, "In my name shall his horn be exalted." And then He goes on to say, "I will not suffer." Verse 33, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." God will never allow his faithfulness to fail. In other words, he can't be unfaithful. And so in Romans 14:23, you know, if we must believe in order to pray aright, then we can understand why Romans 14 and verse 23 says what it says. He that doubteth is damned if he eat or if he pray, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Unbelieving prayer is sin, for it dishonors God's truth, which is very dear to him. And it's also ineffectual for us. When we pray doubting or in unbelief, we're asking God not to answer our prayers. In other words, we're unpraying our very prayers while we're in the process of praying them. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "Let him ask in faith," ask of God, he's saying, "nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." In other words, you're in the process of asking God for something, and you're being told, if you don't ask in faith, you're not going to get it. You won't receive anything from him. Well, then how can I avoid unbelieving prayer? Proverbs 28 and verse 9. God says this, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law," the word of God, "even his prayer shall be abomination." Wow. We think of prayer as a holy exercise. Imagine the very thing that we think we're doing to please God is something that he abhors. It's an abomination to him. But what God does here is he links prayer and the obedient hearing of his word. If we don't hear his word with an obedient ear, our prayer becomes abomination in his sight. And then in Psalm 66 and verse 18, David says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." In other words, if we're going to pray effectively, our hearts must be right before God. And how can that be the case? How can I have my heart right before God? Well, we need our hearts washed from sin by faith in the blood of Jesus. Faith purifies the heart. Acts chapter 15. Our hearts are purified by salvation in Christ. And salvation in Christ comes to us by the grace of God through faith in his Son. Acts 15:9 says that God put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And of course, it's purifying from sin. In other words, God gives us a new heart, and he gives us his Holy Spirit to indwell us. And it's by the Spirit we can pray according to the will of God. Romans 8, 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Or it's the Holy Spirit who indicts our prayers, who gives us desires for what God wants, and enables us to pray aright and with pure hearts. He says, "The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Spirit does that. And how does the Spirit work in our hearts? Through God's Word. Psalm 119. No, I want Psalm. Yes, 119 verses 9 and 11. We read there, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." In other words, the word of God expels sin from our hearts so that we will not regard iniquity there when we pray. God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And as the Spirit of God applies the Word of God, we are enabled to put away sin and to pray aright. In Ephesians 5:26, Paul is talking about how Christ loved his church and gave himself for it, so that, here was his purpose, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word here is likened to water, and water is a cleansing, purifying agent. And Jesus uses the word to cleanse our hearts. And it's the Holy Spirit through the word of God that convicts us of sin and leads us to repentance and confession and applies the blood of Christ in order to pardon, cleanse, and sanctify us. Notice in John chapter 15, Gospel of John chapter 15, here's what Jesus said to his disciples, those who believed on him. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Or he uses the word that he speaks to us to cleanse us. And he says in chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God cleanses, purges, washes us from sin, and it helps us to grow in holiness, sanctification. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, we read there, but if we walk in the light of God's word, as he is in the light, or as he's a God of truth and holiness, purity, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's why Hebrews 10:19 tells us how we come to God. We're sinners. How can we come before a holy God? How can we have him receive us and hear us when we pray? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, into the very presence of God, come before his throne. How? By the blood of Jesus. We have access by faith in him. And again, holiness is the means to effectual prayer. Now, sin and unbelief render our prayers ineffective. We need to come before God with clean hands and a pure heart to effectually prayer. And prayer is also the means to holiness. As we pray, God sanctifies us more and more and conforms us to the image of his Son. All right, so that's how our hearts can be purified and made fit for prayer. The next thing I want to notice in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then, faith cometh, how? By hearing. Hearing what? And hearing by the word of God. In other words, the faith to pray comes through the scriptures, the word of God. And not the scriptures alone, but as the Holy Spirit makes them effectual and powerful in our hearts and lives. One thing we always have to remember, the Bible cannot work unless the Holy Spirit makes it work in our hearts and lives. And then we also have to know that the Holy Spirit never works contrary to the will of God as it's revealed in his word. And so you need both the word of God and you need the Spirit of God. And we're to have the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. And we're to be filled with the Spirit and together we can realize what we are talking about here, true prayer. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 24, we read of Barnabas. It says this about him, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord." Being full of the Holy Ghost, he was full of faith. Now, in John 15, we are told why we need the Scripture to be able to pray aright. John 15, verse 7, Jesus says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." If God's word is really abiding in us, dwelling in us richly, guiding our thinking and our desiring and our motives and our praying, then we are going to be praying according to the will of God. Because the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. And the Word of God is necessary both as it is a deterrent from sin and as it enables us to know the will of God. And we are to pray, God's will be done. Psalm 143, verse 10 says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God." Right? God's people want God's will. And how does he give that to them? "Thy spirit is good." The Spirit of God teaches us God's good, acceptable, and perfect will, and then he enables us to walk in it. "Lead me into the land of uprightness," or the land of purity and holiness. In Ephesians 5, I wanted to look at verses 17 and 18. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Well, how can I do that? "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." If you're filled with the Spirit, he will teach you and guide you into all truth and into the knowing and doing of God's will. And we need to know God's will if we're going to pray effectively, because what does 1 John 5, 14 and 15 say? And this is the confidence that we have in him. How can I have confidence in prayer? That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, any time we ask according to his will, he does hear us. And so if he does hear us, what can we know? Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I know I have what I asked, because I asked God's will. Well, why does it seem so often I pray and I don't get answered? Well, there can be a couple of reasons for that. Maybe God is trying your patience. You know, he says he bears long with us, but he will answer us speedily. Maybe he has something far better and greater than you have ever thought to pray for, because he says he can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But here's another reason, and it goes along with God's word as being a deterrent from sin and a cleansing agent from sin. In James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, we read, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain." You can't get what you want. "Ye fight and war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not." All right, we don't normally pray for the things that are wrong. When we're following our lusts, we do all kinds of things that are illicit and forbidden to get them. fighting and warring and killing. All right, so we pray, and then he says, you ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. So there's an asking according to the will of God, there's asking amiss. There's asking by the leading of the Spirit, and there's asking according to the dictates and lusts of our flesh, which are contrary to the will of God and sin. And so, our desire should be to have our wills conformed entirely to the will of God in a life of full surrender and obedience to the Word of God. That's the life of, that effectual prayer proceeds from. Notice Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah and chapter 7. Verse 11. But they refused to hearken or to listen to God, and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. He that turns away from hearing God's law, it's an abomination when they pray. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Not great blessing, great wrath. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, we must first obey the word before God will hear us pray the word. Prayer must come from an obedient life. Now, like Jesus said, if any man will to do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak for myself. We have to have a will to do the will of God. And so we should search the Word of God through the illumination and guidance of the Holy Spirit so that God will reveal his promises to us from the Word. The promises of God are the fuel and matter and framework of our prayers. That's what has to direct our prayers. And so we can claim by faith and prayer those promises that God has given us, and thus we will have the assurance of a sure answer based on the character of our God who has committed himself to fulfilling his word. What is true prayer? Now, Jacob is our father in the faith. The people of God are called those that seek thy face, O Jacob, or that seek the face of God like Jacob did. How did Jacob seek the face of God, and how should we? Well, notice how he prayed in Genesis 32. Esau's coming with 400 armed men. Jacob is fearful for the life of himself and his family. And he prays. Remember, Jacob is the one who wrestled all night with God in prayer and prevailed. What was behind his prayer? Faith in God's word. Verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Lord, here's what you told me. Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Well, I obeyed. I'm returning to my country and to my family. Am I going to be slaughtered? Is that doing good for me? Verse 12. And you said, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And so what did he base his prayer on? God, you told me this. And so I'm asking you to do what you said. And that's the best way to pray. Go to the Word of God and then say, Lord, here's what you say. Please do what you said. David did that in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 25. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant. Notice, you told me this about me. And concerning his house. Establish it forever and do as thou hast said. Can we say that when we pray, Lord, you said this, please do what you said? Well, Paul said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So as we search the Scripture, in this way the Spirit will reveal to us the mind of God, and then we can confidently pray the prayer of faith according to the will of God, and know that we will receive what we ask. Also, this is a purging process in our lives. For when prayer is not answered because of our sinful lust for praying amiss, as we continue to seek God and pray about it, we'll be brought to recognize the fact that, oh, I'm not praying in God's will. And so we'll confess those lusts that are interfering with our prayer life to God and be cleansed of them. And so through prayer and the Word of God, our senses will be exercised to discern good and evil so that we might adjust our prayers accordingly and pray aright and know we'll have the answer. One final point. We need to pray for the glory of God in Jesus Christ. John chapter 14. Jesus said this, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." Notice, what's he say? What you ask, that's what I'm going to do. In other words, the same thing Mark said. You'll receive what you ask or desire. And why does he do it? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. In other words, we can't ask for anything that God won't be glorified in Christ by the answer to it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do what? It, what you ask. And of course, the name of Christ refers to his character, his interests, you know, his work. We don't want to pray anything that would not be appropriate to have Christ's name attached to, that would not match up with who he is and what he's doing. It would not fit his character and conduct. And of course, we don't want anything like that, that would dishonor him or misrepresent him or detract from his glory and give people a false view of him. If you pray anything in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask, that is what I will do. And so we've come full circle. What things soever you desire in prayer, believe. Can you believe apart from the Word of God? No. Some people think faith is something you kind of work up in yourself. Oh, I got this faith now, and now I know I'll get what I want. No, faith comes by the Word of God. He works faith in our hearts for the thing He wants for us, which is the best thing for us. And then we pray for that. And whatever you pray in that way, what's He say? You shall receive it. Let's close in prayer.